Blog Talk Radio.
I am the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy,
And to God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We want you to know that you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, so we want to invite you to come on and go with us. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise thee, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. That word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Have your way, God, even now. Move in a miraculous way. Cause souls to be saved. Cause lives to be changed. God calls that people to run to the ark of safety. And Father, we thank you and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, we thank thee. Amen and amen. Yes, we would like to, again, to welcome you to the Hour of Power broadcast. We are broadcasting live from Jacksonville, Florida, and I am Dr. Mary McCoy. So let's go and let's get into the Word of God today. If you will, why don't you just turn in your Word to Jonah, that first chapter, and we're going to talk about the man of God that God called and sent on a mission. I don't know whether or not you have been sent on a mission. I don't know what call God has called you by or to what God has called you to do. But I want to talk about the man of God that God has sent on a mission that souls could be saved and lives could be changed through the preaching of the word, through giving them warning from the word of God and from the mouth of God. So we're going to start here at that first chapter and that first verse of Jonah. And it reads, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish for the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down unto it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, cast forth the ware that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down unto the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Now, when we began to look at the word of God, we see here that God is saying unto the man of God, he was telling him, arise, to get up. Get up, Jonah. Sometimes we can be so complacent. Sometimes we could be in a place that we're not thinking about the plan of God. We're not thinking about what God will have us to do. And we're not listening. And then we're not obedient to the things of God. So we see that God is speaking to his prophet. He's speaking to Jonah. And he's telling him that he want him to arise and go to Nineveh. He gave him direct orders that he wanted him to go to Nineveh, not to any other place at that time, but I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to go there and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before him. So we see here that God had a plan for Jonah. He wanted him to go unto Nineveh, and he wanted them to cry against them. He wanted them to cry against Nineveh. When I began to think about the Word of God, when we look at Isaiah, the 58th chapter, the Word of God says, cry aloud, spare not, and lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. So then God wants them to, come on, I need you to get up, and I need you to go to Nineveh, because I want you to go down there, and I want you to cry against it, because these people are wicked. They're doing wicked things. And because they're doing these wicked things, it is coming up before him. It's coming up before God. So that's why God has called his apostles, his prophets, his evangelists, his pastors, his teachers to go out and to warn the people. He called them to go out that they can let men and women know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And God also saying to them that the Word of God says in John 3:16, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, there are people in our world today, there are people like the Ninevites that was living on the edge. They were doing sinful things that it came up before God. So God is sending them warning. He is letting them know that I want you to change your ways. I want you to turn away from your wicked ways. That's why when we pray and we look at the Word of God in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn away from their wicked way, then when I hear from heaven, I will forgive the sin and I will heal the land. Now, God cared enough of the Ninevites that he wanted to not to destroy them, but he was going to destroy them if they didn't repent, if they didn't change their heart, if their mind wasn't changed, that he was going to destroy them. And don't you know that warning comes before destruction? So therefore he sent Jonah. He told him to get up. He told him arise. And so and to go to Nineveh. But the man of God didn't have the mind of God. I don't know what was in his heart, but he knew that the people that God was sending him to were wicked people. They did some atrocious things. They did some things that was not right before God. They were wicked, wicked people. So therefore, Jonah didn't want to go, and he didn't want to go unto Nineveh. So in other words, he had planned in his heart that I'm not going to do what God called me to do. I'm not going to go and warn them. And sometimes we send justice, our righteousness, what we think people deserve, and we don't want them to be saved. Now, you look at the fornicator, the whoremonger, that prostitute, that person that dealing in drugs, that person that murdered God knows how many people, even just one person. So we, in our mentality, in our heart, even in our mind, we began to say, well, I don't want this person to be saved. I don't want them to repent. I don't want them to come into a right relationship with God, because we want to punish them for the things that they have done. So instead of Jonah going to Nineveh, he decided that he was going to rise up and he was going to flee into Tarsus and from, not to the presence of the Lord, but he went from the presence of the Lord. Have you been in that state of mind instead of running to God? You run from the presence of the Lord. You know, I don't want to be in that state of mind. I don't want my heart to be in that state of mind and that condition that I'm going to run from God instead of running to God. And when God had commissioned his people to go in different areas of the world, and then we ought to happily to be able to go because of the fact that God sees fit in order to send us. And I just believe that God was dealing with, not only dealing with the Ninevites, but I believe that God was dealing with Jonah as well, because his heart wasn't right. And he knew, God knew, remember, God knows the very hairs of our head. He knows how we think. You know, he knows everything about us. And so, therefore, he knew that there were some things that was going on with Jonah as well. Yes, those people, the Ninevites, they needed to be delivered. They needed to change their heart. They needed to get on the right course. But yet Jonah had some things that was going on with him that he needed to repent and that he needed to get right with God. Sometimes we blame it and we can only see others' sin and we can only see others' transgression and we can only see others' wickedness. But we can't see our own wickedness. We can't see our own unrighteousness. So instead of him going to Nineveh, and God has sent him, he is going to awake from the presence of the Lord. So then he decided that he was going to go down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid his fare, the word of God says, and he went down to it to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. I wonder how he felt, you know, going from the presence of the Lord. I wonder how he felt being disobedient unto God. I wonder, did it disturb him at all? But when we began to look at the word of God, when we began to look at that fourth verse, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty temperance, a tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. It was trouble on board. The ship was in trouble. The people that was on the ship was in trouble. This was the same ship that Jonah had paid his fare and had gotten on, because he was running from the presence of the Lord. Then the mariner were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down unto the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So that answered our question. It let us know that Jonah, you know, he was had got so complacent and his heart was so hardened that he wasn't even thinking about what God wanted him to do. All he knew that I'm not going to go down to Nineveh, and I'm not going to warn these people because I don't want them to repent. I don't want their heart to be changed. So he didn't feel anything for them. And so, therefore, he just got on this ship, and he decided that I don't have any worries now. And so I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to get me a place to sleep. And I've already paid my fare. And I'm going to go to sleep on this ship. And I'm not going to worry about those sinners. Come on. I'm not going to worry about those wicked people. God wants me to go down there. God wants me to speak to them. But in other words, I don't think they deserve to be saved. Because if he thought that they deserved to be saved, then he would have gone the direction that God had told him to go. But no, he decided that he was going to pay his fare and go into another direction. Meanwhile, the ship, all the people that Jonah was aboard with, all the people that were on the ship were in trouble. Why? Because there was a disobedient prophet, a disobedient man of God that was refused to do the will of the Father. So therefore, by Jonah being in the ship, he caused other people's lives to be in jeopardy because he would not obey God. He was down there sleeping in peace. He was there sleeping like a baby because he didn't have a care. He didn't care what was going on. He was settled in his mind that he was doing the right thing. He knew it wasn't the right thing, but yet how can a person sleep so peacefully when a ship is being tossed, when a ship is having difficulty and they're having to cast their well to be able to lighten the ship? So therefore, it tells us in the Word of God that in that fifth verse, but Jonah was gone down to the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Have you ever been fast asleep? Have you ever been sleeping so well until you didn't have a care in this world? You know, most people, if they're troubled about a situation, many times they can't really sleep. But it just showed us how Jonah had gone fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said to him, "What needest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God." In other words, why are you sleeping? What needest this? Why are you sleeping? In other words, you need to get up, and you need to call upon your God. Come on. And the same thing God had told him, because God told him, arise and go to Nineveh. So he goes into another place. He goes to sleep. Now the shipmaster has to tell him to rise and call upon thy God. It shall be that God will think upon us that we perish not. See, they knew they was in a difficult place. They knew that they were in a hard place. So they needed everybody that was aboard to begin to pray and intercede before God and cry out to God. And Jonah was no exception. So when we began to look at the Word of God, and in that seventh verse, and they said, everyone, and that we may perish not. In that seventh verse, it says, and they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. They got their man. They knew where the problem was. They knew out of all the people that was on that ship, this was the custom. This is what they did at that time. They began to cast lot, and the lot fell on Jonah. That let them know that the problems that they were having, it was because because of Jonah. And when then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose evil, who caused this evil is come upon us? What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? Or what people are thou? They didn't even care where he came from. All they want at before they had the trouble, they didn't even care. All they wanted him to pay his fare to wherever he was going. But now it's a difference. They knew that they was having problems. They have already cast lot fell on Jonah. Now they want to know everything they could about this person that was causing them a problem, that was causing them to be in jeopardy. They wanted to know his occupation, where he came from, what country he came from. You want to know his people. And then in that ninth verse, it said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. This is his testimony. This is what he is saying to the men there, that he was a Hebrew and that he feared the Lord that had made the sea and the land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. It is a dangerous thing to flee from the presence of the Lord. Oh, my God, to flee, to be in his presence, and then to flee from the presence of the Lord. How dangerous is that? No matter if you go to the south, Jesus is there. If you go to the east, Jesus is there. If you go to the west, Jesus is there. No matter what direction that you go, that he is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So therefore, he thought that he could get away and go into another direction and not obey God. He didn't have the sensitivity in his mind to know that God, he knew that he was out of the will of God, but he didn't know the danger that he was in of fleeing from the presence of the Lord. I need you to hear me today, because when we're in the ark of safety, when we have given God our lives, when God is using us, when we have been transformed, when we have been not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, when we have given God our lives, and then all of a sudden we're going to be disobedient, and we're going to go out of this presence, and we're going to not do what the Lord tells us to do, then it brought problems to Jonah as well as the people that was on the ship. So therefore, they knew that he had fled. They knew that Jonah had fled for the presence of the Lord. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm? They knew they had a battle. Come on. They knew they were going through something. It was a battle that they seemed to them to be able to win it, because they had a disobedient prophet aboard. So they wanted to know, what can we do unto thee that the sea may be calm? All they want to have some more peace. All they wanted the ship to stop being, the sea to be at rage, and the ship to stop rocking and uncontrolled, then not being able to control it. He said that, what can we do that the sea may become unto us. For the sea wrath and was temperate. And he said unto them, look what he said. Because he already knew it was him. He knew what to do, just like when God sent him to go into Nineveh. But this is what he said to the men, that was in the ship. He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth unto the sea. So shall the sea become unto you. Take me, just like man, overboard. Throw the man, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard, and the sea will become. But I know, he says, for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men, they rowed hard in order to bring the ship to land, but they couldn't. So you can't fight against God. God, man, was all aboard. And God had to deal with his man. He had to deal with this prophet. He was the problem, and God had to deal with him. So, therefore, the men, they were good-hearted men. They didn't want to throw Jonah aboard. But here the word of God says, nevertheless, the men roared hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was rough, and as we say, it was temperate against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish of this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. They didn't want to throw him overboard. They didn't know what was going to happen when they threw him aboard. Jonah telling them to throw him aboard, but they didn't want to throw him aboard until they tried and tried in order to get the ship back so the sea would be calm and they'd be able to direct it. They found out that they couldn't do it, so therefore they began to pray to God. They didn't want Jonah's blood upon them. Then he was talking to God, and he was saying, lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Come on, my God. They took him up, just like Jonah said. He knew what to do. He knew that it was because of him. So the men, they took him up, and they threw him. They cast him aboard. They cast him unto the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. It stopped raging. Everything got calm. God was dealing with Jonah. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of a fish 3 days and three nights. Could you imagine? Come on. Could you imagine? At one time, you're in your comfort zone. Everything is going well. Jonah's down there asleep. And then after the tempest of the sea and they had problems with the ship, and then he found himself man overboard. But, you know, it looked like it was going to be the end of Jonah. But God, only God, see, God is a miracle-working God. God is a God that does supernatural things. So he had this fish to be able to swallow up Jonah. It tells us that then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly. He was in the belly of the fish. And I may not get a chance to go through the entire chapter 2, but it tells us, it says in that second verse, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. So you didn't have to have any affliction. Sometimes we bring affliction on our own selves because we won't obey God, because we won't do what God has called us to do. All God told him to do is go down to Nineveh. And he wanted him to go and to speak to those Ninevites, to those people, because they were wicked. And as I said before, warning come before destruction. So here he found himself in the belly of a fish. My God. Oh, my God. And here the word of God says, out of the belly of hell, it felt like hell, cried I, and thou hearest my voice. I don't care where you are. Where, see, you may be in a hard place this morning, but God will hear you if you only pray, if you only believe God, if you only repent, if you only ask, if you confess. Because the word of God says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. The word of God says that we shall be saved. But here we see in that third verse, for he said, but thou hast cast me unto the deep in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All my billows, all thy billows and thy waves pass over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The water compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Could you imagine what he was in the belly of that fish and those weeds inside of the fish belly and all of the other substance inside of the belly of the fish? He found himself in a dark place. Oh, my God. He was describing how the weeds were wrapped about his head. And he said, I went down to the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her bars were about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. Come on. And my prayers came unto thee, unto thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanity forsaken their own mercy. But he said, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. But it took him to having to go through all of this transition, going through getting other people's lives in jeopardy, causing them even almost lose a ship because he wouldn't obey God. And then having the men, they causing the men even stress because they knew that, would they know that God was going to prepare a fish for Jonah? You know, they thought this man's blood was going to be on their hands. That's why they began to pray. But then when he got inside of the fish, he didn't have any place to go because he was there in that fish. So he had to come to reality. He had to face reality. Sometimes we have to face reality. We have to look to see where we are. Are we being obedient to God? Are we doing our own thing? Are we living a life that we want to live, or the life that God wants us to live? And when he had prayed unto God, when he had that conversation and communication with God, the fish vomit. God has spoke to the fish. It didn't make any change to God. To the Lord spoke unto the fish. If the fish can obey God, why can't men and women obey God? Why can they not obey God? And the fish, and it vomit out Jonah upon the dry land. We see an awesome move of God. We see how God had moved upon the man of God. And then after God moved upon the man of God and Jonah came to himself, Jonah, the word of God tells us that the word of God came to Jonah the second time and told him to arise and go to that great city and preach to it, preaching what I did. And what I told you to preach, I want you to preach it, Jonah. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter to the city a day's journey. He got there in the daytime. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Wasn't that a thing, that a warning that God was giving to them because he wanted them to repent, he wanted them to change their way? Wasn't that a feeling thing for him to go and to let them know that God was going to destroy them in 40 days, that if they didn't repent, it was going to be overthrown? So the people of Nineveh believed God. And you know what? They didn't just start crying and they didn't just give up, oh, well, you know, we're going to be destroyed. We know we were sinful. We know we were wicked. We know we were wild. We know we were out there. We know we were doing this and that. No, but the people of Nineveh believed God. Even they believed the prophet, what God was saying through the prophet. And they proclaimed a fast. And they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. But God came to the king. And the word came to the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every man from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hand. So there were people that were scalping people, taking people's scalp, and they were doing wicked, wicked, vile things. And here the king was saying, who can tell if God would turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil ways, and God repented the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did them not. So let us know if we can tell the world, if we can tell them that the way of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life, if we can tell them to turn away from their unrighteousness and cause millions of people to be saved, I think it's worth every effort that we make. Because when God give us the word to take to a multitude of people, whether it's 10 people, 20, 500, 5,000, 10,000, a million people, it is for their welfare. It's for them that they have a chance to turn away from their wicked way. Oh, my God. So today, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we only have a few minutes, a minute or so, but I need to go right into prayer. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even as the word has gone forth today, I pray, God, that there are millions of people that have heard this message on today, and Lord God, I ask you, Father, to turn their heart to you. And God, I see, God, every stiff-necked person, every person that's bowed, every person, God, has a mind of their own, every person that has hardened their heart towards you. I pray, God, even now that they turn their heart to you right now. God, your word that we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised them from the dead, you said that we shall be saved. So, Lord, right now, I pray, God, that they shall be saved, no matter what they have done yesterday, no matter what they did 5 years before yesterday. I ask the Lord to forgive their Father even now and cast every sin unto the sea of forgetfulness. And, Father, I ask you to cover them under your blood, God, even now. For your word tells us, God so loved the world, you gave your life, that they can have a right to the tree of life. And Father, we thank you and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This has been Dr. Mary McCoy. We invite you to tune in on this coming Friday as we again come forth to you with the word of God. May the Lord forever bless and keep you is our prayer.